This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis coming out once again, riding old Dan, my old faithful horse, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And I have folks ask me, why you call yourself a trailblazer? It's because back there in the early days of this country, settlers went across the country, they blazed a trail, and they opened up a pathway for others to follow. And I'm asking the Lord to give us grace to blaze a trail to the hearts of sinners, to clear away the briars and the brambles and the thorns and the thicket that clutter up your heart and my heart all along God's pathway. And I'm asking you to pray for me. Don't criticize me. Pray for me. I'm just bringing you God's message day by day, attempting to give you thus saith the Lord, scripture and verse with everything. And we're looking at a series of studies in the book of Revelation. But I want to give you my mailing address and a little information. It's Radio Missions, or just the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. If you do that, I appreciate it. If you write me, let me know that you're doing that. It'd be so good to have you to do that. And then if you would, let me know what station you're hearing the Old Trailblazer over. Would you do that for me? I appreciate it very much. But also, my website is radiomissions.org. There you can go and find a listing of all of our stations. And then our email address, many are using that now, is pastor@radiomissions.org. That's just Pastor at Radio Mission. Very simple, isn't it? But we're looking at that study in Revelation. We've come down now to the church there at Laodicea, or the Lost Church. We can call it the Lost Church. And the Lord is sending a message there to the Apostle John, dictating this letter to the church at Laodicea. And in the 17th verse there, we found that he says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing." Now, let us notice the blind, proud boastfulness. He says, they say, "I'm rich. I have become wealthy." My friend, the outstanding characteristics of our ministries today across this nation of ours and maybe around the world, I'm not sure, but the richness, the wealthiness of churches. I read the periodicals and I read the magazine how that the Protestant churches of this nation especially now own multi-million dollars worth of condos and apartments that they rent out for income and all of those things. And then they build these great silver cathedrals and these great empires and all of these churches that, my friend, the wealth and the money that goes into them. And I think about a poor old sinner out there not able to hear the truth because they plow their money into those facilities. But the Lord says here, "Since thou sayest, I am rich and increased with good." Listen, they counted their numbers. They counted their wealth. That's what our folks are doing. They counted their worldly importance. They counted their popularity with the world. Oh, my friend, we don't have any old-time, old-fashioned gospel preachers like the old John the Baptist. We don't have any more Whitfields and Spurgeons and Bonars and Mac Shane and John Bunyan. Do you ever think of me, read any of John Bunyan's work? They had to hide in the top of a barn to preach the gospel with the lights out to keep from being persecuted? Oh, no. Would these preachers today do that? No, sir. No, sir. I had a friend of mine who was a member of a church that I knew of, and they lost their pastor. He died, old man, the elderly doctor. And I saw him one day at a funeral, and I said, "My brother, have y'all gotten a new pastor?" And he said, "No, we haven't." Said, "We interviewed a man from up in North Carolina, and he came down and looked over the facilities, the chapel, the church, the parsonage, and all that. And we told him what we could afford to pay him. And he said, I make more than that back home. I don't even have to move to make that kind of money. I'm not interested in taking a salary cut." Well, my friend, listen, do you believe he was led of the Lord? No, sir. But this church, the church we were looking at, they said, "We have need of nothing. We have need of nothing." They were so spiritually blinded until there was the loss of a sense of need. They didn't see any need, my friend. Well, isn't that awful? The church itself was going to hell. No one seemed to see it or care. They talked about everything else but Christ, and that's a prevalent spirit that I see today manifested in this country of ours as I travel a little bit, as I listen to national broadcasters, as I listen to local broadcasters. I don't hear them talking about the personality, the reality of Christ. I don't talk about them asking folks, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? I don't hear them talking about, are you going to heaven when you die? They only talk about what church you go to. Who's your pastor? Dr. So-and-so. Blah, blah, blah. That's all I hear, my friend. They talked about everything but Christ in this church, and he had been ruled out. He was standing on the outside knocking to get in. But listen, listen, they came together in their committee meetings, talked about their programs, their finance, their position, their name, but the name of Christ was never mentioned. Now listen, they came together in their so-called worship. They sang their songs, their hymns, prayed their prayers, gave forth their message, and went home. No heart was cut. I asked you, your pastor brings a message. Does it cut your heart? Is a message offensive to you? If my message is not offensive, my friend, I don't feel like I've done anything. If I don't stand in front of my congregation and ask them, are they saved? I haven't done anything because it's my responsibility. I'm going to have to stand and take the blame one day for not being true to the souls of men and women. But listen, no one was offended because of the message. No hearts were open to their lost condition. You know, the greatest blessing that ever comes upon a church is for the Holy Spirit to come there and dwell among the folks and shine the light of the gospel into that heart, into those hearts, and let them see that they're lost sinners. And I'd pray for that day by day. I ask the Lord, day by day, Lord, send thy Holy Spirit here. I tell my folks here, I told them in our service one night this week, the Holy Spirit is slowly but surely being withdrawn from America, from the world, I believe. And when the Lord comes, the Holy Spirit will be gone. When the Lord comes for us, the Holy Spirit will be gone, my friend. There'll be no more Holy Spirit. But listen, there were no hearts cut to pieces. No one was offended. Listen now. Listen. And no sinners being made to cry, Pastor, I'm lost. Have you ever had someone stand up in your church and say, Pastor, excuse me, Pastor, I'm a lost sinner. I'd like to be prayed for. Have you ever had that happen? I have. I have. Prayer meeting here on Sunday night. I have folks stand up and say, Pastor, I'm a lost sinner. Have you ever done that, preacher? Bible teacher, have you ever had someone in your Sunday school say, Mr. Teacher, I'm a lost sinner. I'd like to be prayed for. You ladies who conduct the ladies' Sunday school classes, does any of your folks, or do y'all talk about sewing and knitting and all of those things and gossip? Don't do that, my friend. That's abomination. Oh, but listen, listen. They dismissed and returned to the same old life. Same old life, my friend. The same old crowd. The same old crowd. The pastor told a story one time of this couple who had an old parrot. They kept it home. And they were people who partied at night and went out and danced and drank. So one morning they went to church. And while they were sitting in church, the old parrot had gotten out of his cage. And he flew into the back of the church. The door was open. And he lighted on the pew right behind them. And he sat there and shook himself a little bit. And he looked around and he said, honky tonk, honky tonk, honky tonk. And the lady turned around and shushed him up. And she said, shut up. Shut up. This is a church. He said, honky tonk, honky tonk. She said, if you don't shut up, I'm going to take you home. This is a church. He said, same crowd, same crowd. He had been to the honky tonk with them. It was the same crowd. My friend, is your church like that? Oh, I asked you, my friend, are you, pastor? Is your church separated from the world? Or do your folks turn out at 12 o'clock on Sunday and light up the cigarettes and the pipes and the cigars and the chewing tobacco and go out through the parking lot, look like a tar kiln burning while they're heading for the golf course or for the beach on Sunday evening? My friend, God's children live a separated life. We live a separate life, my friend. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You say, well, old trailblazer, you just meddling. No. My business is to meddle. My business is to probe your heart. And like this church here, they didn't see their need of Christ. They were told that they were saved because they were members of the church. I don't see anybody now who preaches. I don't hear preachers preaching as if they have any lost folks. They try to feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. Well, what about them goats that's out there? Are you feeding them? Or are you calling down the attention that they need to repent and turn to the Lord? But they saw no need because they were all saved. Because they made a decision for Jesus. Somewhere back there when they were 7 or 8 years old. They were told to dedicate their life to the Lord. To learn to get along together. Be kind to dumb animals. And listen. And to be 100% in their financial giving. Brother, this is the condition of the present-day church of today, and it shows that we're in the great apostasy, and Christ is on the outside of the church, waiting for someone to open the door and let him in. Let's notice also there in the 17th verse what Christ saw, and notice the condition of the church spiritually. He said, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Now, here's a picture of a lost church member. He said, you wretched. That is, you're a contemptible outcast. Now, my friend, you call someone that today, they'd want to take issue with you. They'd want to meet you down at the corner, wouldn't they? But every sinner who is not saved is a miserable outcast, a wretch. Surely he hasn't seen it, only by the power of the Holy Spirit. But listen, he says you are a contemptible outcast. Every individual out of Christ, whether in the pulpit or the pew or whether he's in the street, is an outcast from God, whether they know it or not. He also said you're miserable, that is, worthless. Worthless. Christ, their true wealth, they did not know. Now, my friend, that's the greatest thing that I can say. They did not know the Lord. They did not know the beauty of Christ. They did not know the wealth of Christ because they were increased with good and had need of nothing. Oh, my friend, as I just this poor old country boy here, as I look around and I see the average churches, I'm not critical. I'm just analyzing those situations because I see. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see. Listen, the Bible is so plain. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He has a new spirit. He has a new outlook, a new inlook, a new everything. But listen, I know the wiles of Satan. I know that we're in Satan's territory. I know those things. He sits right here on my shoulder in this studio telling me to calm down. Don't get so excited, you old fool. That's what he tells me. But listen, friend, I have to be true to your soul. The Lord has called me to preach the gospel, and I never attempt to bring a message, but what I tell you that Christ died for sinners. It doesn't matter, my friend, if you are a scum of the earth or whether you're high society, it doesn't matter. We all come from the same old block, and that was Adam. We all sinful. We came into this world sinful. But listen, my friend, we have to be awakened to our lost condition. We have to be shown that we need a substitute. Do you know anything about a substitute for your sin, my friend? The old trailblazer has a substitute. One who took my place, paid all my sin debt in full, and gave me grace to look to the Lord day by day. And I praise the Lord for it. Do you have a substitute? Can you say, look up at night on your bed there when the Lord gives you a good, comfortable place, cool in the summer, warm in the winter, and you look up, maybe the lights is out, and say, thank you, Lord, for saving an old sinner like me. I love to hear from folks say, Pastor, you know, the Lord saved this old sinner. I had a lady call me recently, said, Pastor, you know, the Lord saved me. And we just had rejoicing there for 30, 40 minutes over the telephone, long distance. Tell me how she appreciated the Lord saving her. And that's one here and one there. The masses are no longer being saved. Oh, we have many church folks. We have big churches, little churches, middle-sized churches, just slam full of people. But listen, let me give you this. You see a church with a parking lot for 5 or 6 acres full of cars, ain't no truth being preached there. Folks won't have the truth. No, folks won't have the truth. They're being soft-soaked. They're being smoothed over by some worldly preacher who is drawing a large salary, drawing his breath, and let his congregation go to hell. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. I wish you would sit down and write. Remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Until next time, goodbye and may God bless you.